We should be able to, let me tell you about my Jesus, amen. I don't know about you, but how many of y'all have ever been in an unusual circumstance in your life, amen? This morning we're going to be talking about an unusual circumstance, and no matter the circumstances, in 1 Corinthians 10, 31 it says this, it says, so whether you eat, drink, or whatever you do, you should do it for the glory of God. Amen. Whatever we do, we should be doing it for the glory of God. And so, a lot of times we are put into uncircumstances that we're not familiar with. And I don't know how many of y'all have been stuck in uncircumstances. You know, there's several that come to my mind. Amen. You know, when I was a young boy, I was a country boy. I come from a little town that's no bigger than this. And I had some friends that invited me to go to my first professional baseball game. I went to the St. Louis Cardinals baseball game, right? I lived in Northeast Arkansas, so I was a Cub fan and a Cardinal fan. They said, that's impossible. You can't be that, right? Amen, because they're rivals. And I'm like, yes, I can, because I was 3 hours from the stadium, and I played baseball all the time. And when I come home, guess what? Cubs would be playing because they didn't have lights. So every day after school, they'd have to play from 1 to 4:30. Harry Carey'd be on the TV, and I was watching baseball. But we went and watched the Cardinals play, and we stayed with my buddy's family. They lived two blocks from St. Louis Cardinal Stadium. If you've ever been to St. Louis, if you've ever been to the old stadium, you know, 2 blocks from the stadium wasn't a place that you wanted to be staying. And, that night that we stayed there, that you heard gunshots, you know, there was someone that got killed like 2 blocks from us. And I'm going, what is going on, you know? And so just unusual circumstances, right? Like, you don't know what to do, you know? And so no matter what, looking back, God's always seen me through different situations, right? Maybe it's your job. How many of y'all been married in here? Went into an unusual circumstances when you were married, right? God has seen us through this. And so there's all kinds of circumstances that sometimes God has to take us from one place to another to get us where He wants us in our life. And so I don't know about y'all, but today, we're living in an unusual circumstance, right? You know, I don't know about y'all, but, as soon as one wave of this stuff have came, and, the second wave of the pandemic has come, and if you listen to the TV and the radio, and, you know, you just, to me, I just don't know what to do, right? You listen to stuff, and you hear all this stuff coming one side, and for me, it's like, do you take the shot? Do you not take the shot? You know, what do you do? You know, a lot of Christians is seeking after an answer, you know, and what's right and what's wrong. And so for me, you know, I've seen a bunch of my friends that are pastors and different people just asking for, you know, the medical answer, you know, someone to give us sound advice. And so, for us, I really feel like that for us, we have to separate ourselves, get away from this stuff, right? Get off the media, get out of the papers, get off the TV, get off of Facebook, and really sink ourselves into this book today, right? Because this is the answer. And I really feel like God will give us the answer and provide the answer of what He wants us for. God's still in the healing business. God's in control. No matter how you look at this, God can do anything He wants to do. And I really feel like He's wanting His people, He's wanting His children to sink Himself into prayer and come into Him and ask Him for answers for what we should do as children of God. And I think so much of us just do everything on our own. Amen? I mean, I'm an electrician, right? And so a lot of people call me and ask me, hey, how do you wire this? Can I do this and stuff? And a lot of times, I can answer certain things on the phone, right? And so, what if I gave them the wrong answer and they go over there and hook it up and boom, you know what I'm saying? And they're not looking for, you know, to get an answer from me to say, hey, you know, I was just seeing if you'd actually do something stupid like that, right? No, they're seeking after an actual answer to keep them from getting hurt. And so we as Christians need to seek after the one that's got the answers today. And that's our Heavenly Father and Jesus Christ. And He's looking for us to seek after Him. And so I think, like I said, we just need to sometimes just cry out in Jesus' name. Amen? I mean, have you ever heard someone cry out in Jesus' name? Did it freak you out? We shouldn't freak you out, right? As Christians, that's who we're turning to, you know. And a lot of times, I don't think we go to Jesus' name enough, right? When things come at us, you know, there's sounds and everything coming at us from all different directions. And sometimes we just got to go, hey, Jesus, you know, I don't need to hear all this. I need to hear from you. And so today we're going to be looking at these four young men in the Bible that was really seeking after God, but they were put in the unusual circumstances. So today we're going to be looking at in Daniel chapter 1. And I know y'all are, I mean, I do a lot from the Old Testament, I know, but I think a lot of Old Testament principles has a lot of principles for us to live by today, because these people had to seek after God. And so these young men were seeking after God, obviously, but I'm going to read some scripture. I want us to talk about it. And then I'm going to do something a little bit different at the end of service today. But I want y'all to remember this quote. A pastor that I listen to quite a bit, he made this comment. And it says, no conflict, no story. The greater the conflict, greater the story. And so I really believe that that's the world we live in today. You know, no different than in Scripture. You hear a lot of Bible, right? From the beginning, it's been a spiritual battle. From beginning to the end of this time, it's a spiritual battle. Every time we've done anything in life, we go to war. It's a spiritual battle, guys. And so, just remember, it says, no conflict, no story. And that's true. That if there's no conflict, there's really no story today, right? And the greater the conflict, the greater the story. Every movie you ever watch is built off of, I mean, and builds us up, right? You know? I mean, you know, any of y'all ever seen Gladiator? Right? You know, that's a man's. Now, women, I don't know if they really like a lot of conflict, but guys, they feed off of the conflict movies, right? The greater the conflict, the greater the story. And so, that's how Satan likes it today, guys. He wants to keep you in conflict. He wants to keep you all messed up. But these four boys right here, starting in Daniel 1, and these, some of these words I may not be able to pronounce, I'll just be honest with you. In Daniel 1, chapter 1, it says, in the third year of the reign of Jehoiakim, I don't know how to pronounce it, king of Judah, Nebuchadnezzar, king of Babylon, came to Jerusalem and besieged it. And the Lord gave Jehoiakim, king of Judah, in his hand, and some of the vessels of the house of the God. And he brought them to the land, to the house of God, and placed the vessels in the treasure of his God. I know, let me go to my other version, because I told y'all another version, amen? So, verse 3, it says, then the king ordered Ashpenaz, the chief of staff, to bring to the palace some of the young men of Judah's royal family and other noble families who had been brought to the Babylonians to be captured. Select only strong, healthy, and good-looking young men, he said. Make sure they are well-versed in every branch of learning and gifted with the knowledge of good judgment and are suited to serve in the royal palace. Train these young men in language and literature of Babylonian. Hey, kids, how many kids we got in here? This is your first school. Amen. They had to go to school too in the Bible days. To be knowledgeable, to be somebody, yes, you got to go to school, be smart, okay? But anyway, this is your first school. But these young men is what, at this point in time, has been brought out of where they're used to, right? They're brought out of their home life. They've been captured. They've been brought into this area where they're going to be trained. It says, the king assigned them daily rations of food and wine from his own kitchens. They were to be trained for 3 years. Then they would be entered into the royal service. Daniel, Hannah, Mishael, and Azariah were four of the young men chosen, all from the tribe of Judah. The chief of staff named them with these Babylonian names. I'm going to stop right there for a second. These young men were taken what? They were taken out of something that they knew. Something that was unusual. I mean, their circumstances wasn't what they expected, right? How many of y'all have been somewhere and then brought out of something and it's just unexpected? And y'all don't know what do you do at that point in time? There's been several times that my kids, we were sitting around talking about it. Kenley more than anybody, because she don't mind. Callie's, she's a little nicer. Kenley just kind of, if you've been around her, she just kind of says what's on her mind. And sometimes it's not a good trait that she gets by me, you know. But we were sitting there driving the other day, and she goes, you know how much we've moved lately? And since I've been a born, you know, she's like, oh, we've moved here. We start counting it off. It's like, Kenley's, how old are you, 15? 10 times. She's like, I've been in 5 different schools, you know. And start thinking, what kind of unusual circumstances those are for kids, you know. And for me as a dad, you know, I try not to think about it. I'm like, yeah, I'm just trying to build character for you. It's going to help you in life. Amen. It's going to help you to communicate with people. That's what I'm here to do. I'm trying to build you up. Amen. Y'all, your kids feel the same way sometimes, right? They're a military family, and I think they moved quite a bit. How many times y'all moved? Do you know? Bunch, right? So you're building character. I'm trying to teach y'all, you know, that, hey, life is not always easy. No, but you have to adapt, right? Had to adapt. And so I tried to, you know, teach principles as far as these kids, you know, what do you lean on? Because mom and dad's not always going to be around, right? So if we really look at this situation, you know, these kids that was brought out of their situation, you know, it was an unusual situation. But in verse 7, I want to finish this right here. It says, the chief of staff renamed them with the Babylonian names. Daniel was called Belteshazzar. Hannah was named Shadrach. Mishael was named Shadrach. And Azariah was named Abednego. So that's how I've always known these names growing up, right? Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego. You've always heard these. Which is really cool that, just like our world today, I believe that we live in. I believe that no matter what, Satan's trying to retrain us as Christians, right? Trying to set things in our mind to retrain us to think different ways. You know, if you set yourself and get in the media all the time, you can start thinking all kinds of different things and not follow on Christ. Amen? It's easy to get away from your relationship with Jesus. And so, just like in these days, what did they try to do? They brought these kids in here, and I want us to show you, they were retraining. They were trying to change the mindset of what these kids. It says, Daniel, anybody know what Daniel means? It says, God is my judge. That's what Daniel's name was. And they changed his name to be protect the king, right? Every one of these kids meant something awesome. and they were changing them to be a Babylonian representation or a meaning. It said, Hannah's name is, the Lord is gracious. Michelle meant, who is like the Lord. Azariah, the Lord is my helper. See, God had favor on these kids the whole time. Their names meant something, but they were trying to change the mindset. And I believe today that's what Satan tries to do with us. As Christians, he tries to retrain us to think. I mean, as children, I can remember as a child that our principles have changed, right? And we've got easier and softer, that we just think it's okay to just let that go, right? And I think that that's what has happened as Christians. Our principles and values have changed. When I was a kid, you know, we didn't miss church. Not saying that church is the main thing, right? I think you can have a relationship with God, but I believe that it built principles of being at church. If we had a revival, we didn't miss revival. No matter if baseball season was here or not, my parents didn't let me miss church. You know? And so I think as time has got, we have got away from God being the main thing, right? He should be the main thing, the center of our lives. And so I believe that these boys, you know, came from that kind of lifestyle. And it says in chapter 8, verse 8, it says, but Daniel was determined not to defile himself by eating the food and wine given to them by the king. He asked the chief of staff for permission not to eat these unacceptable foods. Now God had given the chief of staff both respect and affection for Daniel. He gave him respect for him, right? God's working in his favor right there. You catch that? He said God gave the chief of staff both respect and affection for Daniel. And it says, but he responded, I am afraid of my Lord, the king, who has ordered that you eat this food and wine. If you become pale and thin compared to the other young, the youth of age, I am afraid the king will have me beheaded. These boys were stuck in an unusual situation, right? But these boys wasn't going to defile what God was asking them to do. And so, right here in this scripture, that we have to look back. Where did these boys come from? There's no doubt in my mind these boys just didn't come, get taken and start following a God, right? We have to think about, they were brought up that way. They were taught that way. You know, everything about them was either taught, handed down. They seen this take place at their youth. And so when they were taken out of unusual circumstances, what'd they do? They turned to God. Because that's how they were brought up. And so they wasn't going to turn. They wasn't going to defile. They were following what God was leading them to do. And then verse 12, it says, I'll skip 11. Verse 12, it says, please test us for 10 days on the diet of vegetables and water, Daniel said. How many of y'all need to be on some vegetables and water? Boy, I do. Amen. Huh? And let's see what it says. You might want to do it. And it says on verse 15, at the end of the 10 days, Daniel and his three friends looked healthier and better nourished than the young men who had been eating the food assigned by the king. So after that, the attendant fed them only vegetables instead of the food and wine for the others. So right here, we know the results. When you listen to God, what are the results? When we listen to God, God's right there with us. He's there to take care of us as children of His. The results are they look better and healthier, you know, than what the king. Can you imagine what the king was feeding them? He was feeding them king food, right? Like, what Bob eats every night. Amen? Them steak and them elderberries, right? But these guys were just on vegetables, water, and they looked healthier. They were stronger. You know why? Sometimes it don't make sense, but that's what God commanded them to do. Sometimes things don't make sense. Sometimes you're put in the circumstances that you don't understand. But God says, this is what I want you to do. And so when we do what God wants us to, what He wants us to do, the results are always going to turn out right. And so sometimes you don't understand. Sometimes you look back, you have to be there, walk through the journey, get there, go through that journey, and then look back to say, this is where God wanted me to be. And so these young men were this. And so in we'll read verses 17. It says, God gave these young men an unusual aptitude for understanding every aspect of literature and wisdom. And God gave Daniel a special ability to interpret the meanings of visions and dreams. I want to stop there. The more we walk with God, the closer our relationship with God, He gives you other abilities to do things that we don't understand, right? I'm not saying that you're going to walk out here and jump out of a boat and start walking on water, you know. I'm talking about God's got a calling on every one of our lives. And the closer and the more that we walk with Him, He starts revealing that. He's building your faith. He builds your faith. He builds your faith. And you get to see a God that does amazing things that most people don't ever get to enjoy or see in our lifetime. Because we're not willing to what? We're really not willing to get out of the boat. Right? And so a lot of us see Jesus walking on water. We see Him healing. We see Him doing these things. But we're not willing to go to Him because a lot of times we're scared. And so these young men were not scared. These young men had faith. And it says, the king talked to them and no one impressed him as much as Daniel, Hannah, Mishael, and Azariah. So they entered into the royal service. Whenever the king consulted them in any matter requiring wisdom and balance of judgment, he found them 10 times more capable than any of the magicians and enchanters in the entire kingdom. See, the results are, you can't explain it, right? When we follow God, you can't explain God. And that's what the amazing journey of having a relationship with Jesus is, that we need to get away from the worldly things. We need to quit focusing on letting the world determine what we're going to do or how we're going to live our lives, and start living for Jesus Christ and living from what He tells us to do. Amen. I just really feel like this, like I said, this week has been one of them weeks that for me, I've just heard a lot of negativity going on, right? And I know every week you can sit here, and last night I was sitting there reading and just trying to get the word that He wanted me to speak this morning, amen? And I try to separate that every time I get up here, because I'll be honest with you, I'm not worthy enough to be up here. But through the gracious of God, I thank Him that He is gracious enough to allow me to be able to come and speak. Sometimes you just got to get away and get alone with God to be able to hear God. And so I just know that this week has been a struggle with me hearing, you know, I've got some friends and their families and stuff. If the COVID thing has arose again, it's very strong. And I've got several friends that their families are in the hospital right now. And I just sit back and go, you know, everybody's like, are you going to take the shot? You're not going to take the shot. And I was like, you hear so much negativity, like I told y'all earlier, that we have to just get alone and be with God, right? Quit listening to everything else. Quit listening to the politics. Quit listening to the things of the world. And listen to God. Because He speaks. He's trying to speak to us as Christians. He's trying to guide us to what He wants us to do. And there's people that depend on us to do that. To get alone, to hear what Jesus wants to speak to us about today, guys. And so, my goal for the next several weeks, just to be honest with you, is just to be more praying, fasting, and spending time with God. Because every time you've listened to any of these guys that was looking for an answer for God, what did they do? They prayed and fasted. They've seeked after God. They didn't just go to bed and say, hey, dear Lord, I need an answer, and get up in the morning and think they had the answer. You got to have time alone with Him, speaking to Him to get an answer from God. And so today we're going to do something a little different. We're going to close in service. And instead of closing completely, just having prayer and walk away, I believe it's we need to have a good prayer service. And I've asked a few guys and their families, and I'll just be honest with you. I'm asking if you want to pray for us. I think we need to pray for our county. I think we need to pray for Mount Ida, Montgomery County. If we want to see God really work, we need to cry out to God and ask Him for answers. You know, if God's really in charge of our lives, we can't be ashamed to cry out to God and ask Him to protect us, to save us, to put a healing hands upon us. Amen? If we want to see Him work, we want to see people out here, because I'm telling you right now, all you have to do is go over here into the school system, go over here to the restaurants, and you can look around. There's people that's depending on us as Christians to reach out to them. And so our county, our country, Hot Springs, just go, I don't know how many of y'all go to Hot Springs, but, you know, it looks like a movie scene sometimes, right, when you see people. And so I'm just saying that we need to spend some time with God. And so I'm going to ask a few of the guys to come forward if you'd like to. I would love for you to come and pray, but we're going to pray. I just want us to pray for our church. I want to pray for the people. More than anything, I want to pray for protection over every one of us, right? You know, that's one thing I want to do. I don't want anybody, and I believe that God's in control. And God can do anything He wants to. And so I'm relying on Him, amen? Because I'm not in control. There's nothing I can do about it. And so I believe as Christians that's what He's calling us to do. And so if everyone will stand, if you want to pray this morning, it don't matter if you're a lady or a man. I would really love if you'd come forward or pray from your seat. I'll close this in prayer. Keith, if you would start us in prayer this morning, and then anyone else that would like to pray this morning, and then I will close this in prayer. Amen. Well, Keith will start, and then we'll close in prayer. And then I've got some announcements as soon as we close in prayer. Amen.
Let's pray. Father, we are so delighted to be in Your presence today. We are delighted that we can invite You into our life. Just like You entered into Daniel's life. Supernaturally, You came on to Daniel and his friend. Lord, we pray that we would receive like Daniel did, that we would hear Your message, and that we would receive this message and obey it. Obey it immediately. We pray, Lord, that we would hear Your word, and that we would follow You with all of our heart. Lord, pray that we would seek You until we find you. Not for 10 minutes every day, but until we find you every day. Lord, we want more of you. We want more of your supernatural work in this church. Lord, I pray that you would bring your supernatural work into Montgomery County. We pray that you bring revival here. Lord, we hope to see that 90% of the people in Montgomery County would be saved following you. Lord, move us, lead us, and we promise to follow you and obey. In Jesus' name.
Our Heavenly Father, you truly are a great God. Thank you for your love and mercy. I pray that your Holy Spirit will work in my life and give me that same understanding and wisdom that you gave Daniel and Lord Philip. I know it will depend on me seeking after you. Turn my life to you and looking for you, especially when I'm in those unusual circumstances. Thank you for your word. And let my life be a light for the community, that it can shine in such a way that they can see you and want you and follow you.
Dear Heavenly Father, I just come to you, dear Lord, that just asking you to put a hand of your protection on us, dear Lord. Father, I just ask for you to your Spirit to be just with us everywhere we go, Father. That, Father, we'll seek after you. Seek after your face, dear Lord. Seek after your word, dear Lord. And dear Lord, that we'll close out all the words that are coming in from all the different directions, dear Lord, and then we'll just focus on what you have to say, dear Lord. Dear Lord, you are in control. Father, you are the boss, dear Lord. And whatever you say goes. And dear Lord, you are still a healing God, Father. You still are a moving God, dear Lord. And Father, you are a Father, dear Lord. And I thank you for just being with me, Father, and being with the ones in this church, dear Lord. Dear Lord, just continue to prick our hearts that we'll just seek after your face, your word, dear Lord, and forgive us where we fail you. In Jesus' name I pray. And everyone said...